program called Dr. Bob this week. I think if Theron's math is correct, this is we're celebrating our six months.
Yeah.
Of fun and festivities here on this radio program.
So you started March 31st.
Yeah. March 31st. I'm going to write that.
It's really cool. It's called Let the Bible Speak. Faith.
And it's on
and
there.
You go there and you can.
Yeah. And she's like.
Time. If we have time.
He,
yeah.
He mentioned we've got to be. Didn't used to work correctly.
Hold on a second. We didn't talk.
Okay. Anyway, we're back on the radio, I think. Is radio gone?
Yeah, we paused it.
Yeah, that's
just
weird,
the pause button.
We started doing that because we had some problems with that before.
I wasn't aware of
but
that.
Now it's not working.
I'm ignorant about that stuff. Anyway, back on track.
Talk about that
I don't want to touch anything over there and have everything.
Yeah, you're fine. But, you're fine. Thank you for pointing that out.
Anyway, I've got this shirt on. It's called Lord, Please Help Me Get One More. And Theron's got his own shirt. This shirt Tim Modlin made for me, and it's a quote from the movie Hacksaw Ridge by Desmond Doss, and he's the character that saved 75 people in that battle.
Right.
And that's they asked him how he did that, and he said he would pray, Lord, just help me get one more. And he was able to save 75 people. Yep. So what our goal is just to find another person that wants to know the truth and wants to be honest with it. And that's what we're trying to do. So, thank you, Tim, for the shirt.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Yes. And also, I did not show this the last time.
And you can see it correctly this time. We're not mirrored anymore. So
this
book, go for it.
Mind Your King by Doy Moyer. If you don't have it, get it and read it. It'll help you understand authority. And last year it was free on Kindle at one point.
Really?
You could get it for free. So it's available in lots of different mediums. Get the book and read it. It'll help you understand what Bible authority is better than I can understand it, because Doy's been doing it a lot longer than I have. And he's very smart. Anyway, so Theron, what did you just add it? Just maybe a little fearfully here. What did you have planned today? Because I know you've got stuff. I've got my Bible in front of me. I'm gonna let it speak today. But what do you have going on?
Okay, so basic format today is this is a chance to kind of look back.
Okay.
See where we're at and look ahead.
Okay.
And so I was just basically gonna do a Q&A. And ask you some questions, give you a chance, and maybe ask some of the questions that people are wondering about. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Speaking of which. I don't want to interrupt you. Buddy of mine, Bill Beeler, who lives, I think, around Indy now. I'm not even sure where he lives now. I went to college with him. Me and him and two other guys rented a house my junior year and stuff.
Yeah.
He responded on Facebook, asked really good question last week. He said, long time listener, first time caller.
I saw that.
And so Bill Beeler, and we are getting, people are asking questions and they're wondering why I'm saying what I'm saying, which is good. But he asked about Jonah. He said, why, basically, if Jonah said he believed in God, why didn't he obey him? I think that's a great question.
Right.
And so that, which goes along with what people are believing and teaching and Theron, be careful, brother. And, this idea of speaking where the Bible speaks.
Okay.
What are you waiting for me to say?
There's a line in there that I'm waiting for. Go ahead. Keep going.
Lightly, correct?
Semi-lightly.
What we do when we say what Jonah did is we claim one thing, do something else, correct? And we cannot say, I know what the Bible says, I know what God says, but we can gong that one. But anyway.
That's why the gong's here.
That's why Jonah did what he did. And I think people today are doing things. I don't know that they're purposely saying, well, I don't know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this instead. My daughter Emma says,
both of my girls
are home from college this week.
Oh, awesome.
Abigail's birthday is today. She turns 18 today, which just blows my mind.
Happy birthday, Abigail.
But I'm so glad to have my family back. Makes me want to cry. But,
yeah.
A lot of things.
Not that you ever do that.
But
Scott Mitchell. Professional crier.
Glad to have them home. So anyway, happy birthday, baby. And Emma, I'm glad to have you back with us. Not that they've ever really been gone, but, you know.
Right.
Up to 700.
Down in Kentucky
up to 700 viewers already.
700, wow. Seven. I think that was, was there a comma? I think it was 7,000.
Anyway. So go ahead with your basic thing.
Well, one of the first things I was going to mention, and I meant to put this on the list, is, would you ever believe how fast an hour flies until you sat here?
No. In fact, Karen Galloway, who comes down and helps us on Wednesday nights, was concerned that it would be hard to fill an hour. Right.
She thought that sounded like a long time. We could go 2 hours and not have enough time.
Right. Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah. It flies so fast.
Hope it flies for the people that listen and watch.
But instead of a long draw,
it certainly flies on this side of the mic.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, I tell you what, Scott. So again, back to the basic format we thought we'd go with. Let's do something. I think this is pretty critical. I mean, to your appeal earlier, one of the questions. Let me start with a question. When you think about the radio program, who is your intended audience? And this kind of makes a difference when you think about format and approach. Mm-hmm. What do you picture as your intended audience for this program?
People that are looking.
People that are looking. Okay.
That are lost and want to find their way. Maybe somebody that doesn't even realize they're looking, may hear something and say, maybe I need to think about that.
Right. So you and I are both those lost balls and tall weeds, right? We both weren't raised in the church, weren't raised in really any, me maybe a little exposure to church, but not really. I mean, not much. So, so we were both just lost souls.
Very much.
And so appreciative for the grace of being found, essentially. Mm-hmm. So. You have to tell us that story about the Christmas tree sometime.
Well, maybe we will.
Yeah, maybe not today, but at some point you'll have to tell us.
My wife came out of denominationalism. She was raised Lutheran and was taught the rest of the truth. I'm not saying they don't have any truth.
So
she came out of that background, and I came out of, I don't know, a blank slate background, I guess.
Right.
And we've had to figure this Christianity thing out, you know, how to be husband and wife and how to do those relationships and how they're supposed to be according to God's plan and how to be the type of parents we're supposed to be and how to, and then you start trying to figure out how to reach out to people. I mean, it's been, every step has been new
for
us
in
a lot of ways. And we're still trying to figure that out. Right. Jeffrey is on.
Hey, Jeffrey.
I think Jeff's camping this weekend. That's what he said. Is why he
can't
be on the radio.
Yeah, Jeff can't be on today for our special 6-month anniversary because he's camping.
Right.
Anyway,
I'm sure he's Christian. Right. He wouldn't lie.
Right.
By the way, you know when the only time
camping.
Is
camping.
Did you know the only time is that Christians lie?
As when they sing.
When they're singing.
Yeah, when they're singing.
Anyway, what else do you have? I've got lots of goodies. I can just start reading this thing if you run out.
Well, let's do that. One of the things I'd ask you to do, Scott, is just think about some scripture Bible passages that talk about what it is you want to what you want to do with the radio program and where you want to go. And again, the radio program is just part of the big picture of just wanting to serve the Lord any way you can, right? And this is just one avenue to do that. And again, I mean, the premise of the entire radio program is let the Bible speak, right? Because if we go about it our own way, what ends up happening? Nothing good, right?
Jeremiah 10:23. It's not within man to direct his own steps.
Absolutely. One of many, many good passages that we can turn to. So we thought, you know, this is about the Bible, even though we're kind of looking at the program. But in the end, the mission is we're trying to reach out to folks.
Yes, we are.
We're trying to encourage the saved and save the lost.
Absolutely.
And so, let's look at some scripture passages that help us reflect on that.
Yeah. So what do you have anything that you...
I got tons, but you go ahead.
Well, I mean, really what's become my mantra, is mantra the right word? My kind of...
Sure, go for
it. Is this idea of abiding in Jesus. And what does that mean?
Right.
You know, John, I'll go over and look at... I was going to look at 1 John and how many times the word abide shows up in the book of 1st, 2nd. I mean, that he says it over and over and over again.
Right.
But in John, and in the Gospel of John... And I've used this a lot, and I'm sure my wife probably gets tired of hearing it. Hearing.
You're north of the Ohio River. Yeah, we have to say hearing.
John 8:31-32. This is the crux of this whole thing about false teaching, whether it is or if it even matters. Is it okay to step outside the bounds? You know, Paul talks about the pattern. Is it okay to step outside
that? Well, God loves everyone, so, that's the idea. Hey.
And by the way, John Bingham hates it when I say Jesus-y, just so you know. So it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, mm-hmm. and the truth will set you free. Is it okay for people to step outside the bounds of what we have as far as Jesus's words and do what they think is a good idea?
Right.
Is that okay? And I want people to consider that. And, is that safe? that's kind of be, that's really what I've been focusing on at El Bethel and a lot of things is because, by the way, I work with the church at El Bethel down the road. If you're new to the program, you probably may not be, but who knows, you may be. I've been there a little over, I don't know, maybe getting over close a year now. And a half. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But we've just been looking at the Bible and trying to read it and see what it says and do what it says. That's the crux of that. And so is it okay for us to have an idea and act on it? Mm-hmm. That's and the quote, it's now mine. I don't know who said this. I used it twice now, so it's mine.
Now it's yours. You own it.
A gentleman said a couple of weeks ago, the problem with people is they, when it comes to God, they have ideas and then they act on them.
Right.
As if they have the authority to do that. So I want people to consider, no matter where you come from, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Church of Christ, Wesleyan, I don't care where, is what you're doing part of the seed Jesus planted, or is it part of the apostasy seed that was planted about 150 years after the church was established?
Are there people who had potentially very sincere hearts that looked at the Bible at a time of great turmoil, and they were trying to, I mean, they were working at the time where the church was essentially the Catholic Church, and they were trying to, they looked at God's word, and they really wanted to work from it. Did they do some good stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah, are we thankful for Martin Luther for having the guts to stand up to that governmental conglomerate of nonsense and say, you can't do this any? Of course. But what they didn't do, and what their followers didn't do, is they didn't go far enough back in the scripture. Mm-hmm. They pulled out, but what they did was attach themselves to some things that were part of that apostasy and the organizations and things like that. And so they didn't go far enough back in the New Testament to find out what Jesus' church really was. Because Jesus, he told us what his church was, got nine, how to get in his church, mm-hmm. what to do when we got in his church, and how to stay in his church. He's given us all that.
Right.
And so is that good enough for us, or do we have to have, we're up to 10, or do we have to have more than that? And that's really the point of this whole show and going through Calvinism and false teaching and what truth is, all those things we've talked about, the characteristics of God. Mm-hmm. What is it to believe? We've talked about all those things for that reason.
Right. I think going back to the passage you just read, you highlighted two words. I can see them circled, maybe three, but mm-hmm. two that jumped out at me. Abide and truth. Yep. Okay. And so truth is something that people can get into arguments about, but I think we don't want to miss the emphasis on abide, to be basically to have your life in, to be enveloped by. And I think the bottom line, I think this is something, an appeal that hopefully we can all, if we're sincere, can step up to and own. You might say, oh, that Scott guy, he's a member of XYZ congregation, and I bet he teaches fill in the blank, right?
Yeah. And we can do that.
And we can have those conversations, but I also think, look, Step back from a minute. If you've been entrenched in denominational arguments and doctrinal fights, it's really easy to get wrapped in that. Step back from that. Just take maybe a couple steps back and think, no, let me think about this. Do these things matter? Yeah, they do. They really do matter, and that's why we get so passionate about them. But in the end, what is this about? It's about God. It's about our Creator. And so in the end, you have to go, how do I honor and please the Creator that loved his miserable, wretched creation so much that he would surrender his son to death and torture so that we could be reconciled to him?
And that's why it matters.
What's our response to that?
I asked that question. We had to meet me at the full FCA nationwide thing Wednesday morning at the middle school.
Right.
And I asked one of the kids, I was talking, and I said, why does any of this matter?
Right.
And
right,
she said,
right.
Because Jesus died on the cross for us.
There you go.
And there is no better answer.
That is the answer.
It's perfect. And so that's been, if he was willing to, if God was willing to do all that for us, why question? I mean, there is so much God has told us to do. Why would I want to step outside that and try to do more stuff when I'm not even really good at what he's told me to do?
Yeah.
I've got plenty to work on.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyway.
You don't need new guidelines, right? Above and beyond what you find here.
We can talk about, Sunday I'll talk about where that first creed came from. And,
oh, yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
And I'll get dates and all that. But,
right.
And I've got, in fact, I can preach the sermon right now, but I'm not going to because my wife will have to hear it again. But anyway.
Well, I
by
will.
The way,
maybe
just,
I want to
hear. I'll be changing shirts. Instead of changing hats, I'm changing shirts in a little bit. If you don't have anything else to do today in Palmyra, they're having the Pow Wow. And but anyway, we've got a booth there and we're just asking people to study the Bible. We've got a shirt on that just says ask big.
I saw that. Saw that on Facebook. Yeah.
Let's ask, just get people what, you know, why do we care? Well, it's because Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
And so, that idea, anyway, we'll be there. There'll be people from Glean and my family will be there. So I kind of started that before I started working out of Bethel. So I kind of feel tied to that when I got the booth and all.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. We had a booth at Milltown at the festival last year, but it rained so much no way down there this year, but maybe next year will be
well,
better.
This day's looking really nice.
But anyway, doing a lot of things and just trying to reach out to people because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. So,
right.
But come out and see us and pal, we'll be glad to give you something to read. Anyway.
And you'll be their pal.
Well, you've got Acts.
You can be their pal.
Pun intended.
Absolutely.
You've got Acts 17.
I do have some good verses. Now, we talked about abide. Let's talk about truth.
Okay.
So, now, my background, there was a time in college where I first really believed in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you stories about, you know, the night and day, seeing the light kind of.
Yeah.
That analogy is very real when you've stepped out of the darkness. But I have, you know, worshiped with different denominations, different backgrounds. And here's the only answer that I can come to. I'm being very sincere in this, not just, you know, preaching the party line or anything, but I honestly don't know any other way to determine how to be pleasing to God than what he told us.
That's what he said.
I mean, it almost seems too simple. I know. But in the end, how do you know? Because even in the time... Well, there were people that looked at the Catholic Church, and I will be candid. I will say the Catholic Church of that day was worse than what we see today.
Well,
even
yeah.
with all these scandals well, and stuff. Like I mean, it was way worse
than
what we know today.
There was a pagan government mm-hmm. involved in trying to organize a religious organization.
Oh, yeah.
And even if they intended to do well, they didn't know how. And
wow.
so why would they adhere to the truth if they didn't mm-hmm. know? And you've got a government dictating to a church
what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. That's never going to work.
When political power fused with religious power,
yeah.
that was a deadly bridge
well,
to cross.
Well, even
but
when
yeah.
you think about creeds,
yeah.
if you mix a human creed with the Bible, what do you have? You have a human doctrine.
Right.
And we can't rely on that.
Yeah.
And that's what they tried to do.
Right.
But that's a discussion for tomorrow. Now, let's get on with Acts. We were going to talk about truth.
All right. See, that talk about that hour?
I mean, we're
a third through the program.
It's nuts.
And we're just like, we're sitting on the taxiway.
And I've only had one donut. So
you only had one donut. Well, we've got more, so you're in good shape. By the way, we had donuts from Happy Hive. They were good. Okay.
They were edible.
Well, and when I think about, and this really, thanks for bringing this up, because this really points to the principle that we're describing. So when the Apostle Paul was traveling, he was in Asia Minor at this point. If I remember correctly, I believe so. Berea, or is that in?
Well,
he's on a missionary journey. We'll put it that way because I'm like I'll get the context wrong.
You're going to talk about the Berea.
Yeah, actually, I think they're in Greece. In Greece at this point.
Yeah.
But something we talk about a lot amongst like brothers that we hang out with, brothers and sisters that we worship with, is the Bereans, the Jews initially in Berea. So reading from Acts 17 and starting in verse 10, it says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue, which was always like Paul's habit. He would go to the Jewish synagogue.
That's
they were God's people.
Did.
Let's preach them the truth. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Mm-hmm. They received a word with all eagerness. Which is good, right? But what else did they do? Examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Mm-hmm. And many of them therefore believed, but not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. One of the things we appreciate is, did they receive the word with eagerness?
Yep.
Yes, they did. But what else did they do?
They checked it.
They checked it. They said, you know what?
So
this sounds good,
yeah,
but
is it?
But is it, right? So, how do I know? What was the answer?
My challenge to the people listening is,
yeah,
examine what you're being taught. Examine what you're doing.
Yeah.
See if you can find it in Scripture.
Well, right,
not only check it out in Scripture to make sure, but what if it's not even there? What do you do then? There's no way to know. And yeah, so that's the danger. And
right,
and I don't know if y'all have noticed, but you may not think this matters, you listeners, but I hope you notice that it does matter to me. If you can't hear that, this idea of abiding in the Word of God,
oh, absolutely,
and not deviating, it does matter to me. And I'm hoping to convince people that it matters. It should matter to them.
Right.
I think there are sincere people who are doing what they think is right, but they don't consider if what they're doing is actually found in Scripture or not.
Right.
And that's the scary thing is here. What if it does matter to God? And I think it does. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Right.
And that's the point of all this.
Anyway. Right. And what's the natural response? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Again, if you've been wrapped in all these denominational arguments and those things matter, don't get me wrong, but I think we need to go. It's easy to get wrapped up in that.
By the way,
and not step back and see what does God want.
If you want to call in, 812-365-9864. If that doesn't work, call my cell phone, 812-620-4034. If you disagree,
mm-hmm,
call in and tell me. But here's where the discussion is going to start if you call in. And mm-hmm, I'm not having any more discussions starting in the middle of things like, well, you guys don't use instruments, okay?
No.
Fine.
Right.
We're going to go back and agree, first of all, that the Bible is inspired, right, infallible, perfect Word of God. If you don't agree with me on that, we're not going to have a conversation. Because otherwise, you're right, I'm right, Priscilla can be right, Matt can be right, nobody can be wrong. If this Word isn't the inspired Word of God, I'm not discussing it with anybody.
Right.
Well, and if they don't think it is.
Right. Well, and we could have a conversation where we at least let them understand why we don't.
Yeah.
It's not that we have anything against instruments.
No, but it goes back to, is this Bible? Can we add to it and take it? It's about Bible authority in our intent. And I don't care about the instruments or whether you meet twice on Sunday or when you take the Lord's Supper or what do you wear to church. All that, none of that matters if the Bible is not your authority.
Right.
That's what's important.
And let's be fair to our own brothers and sisters, right? Because we need to be honest with ourselves. If we're going to say things like, well, we're not a denomination, right? We need to not act like one.
That's true.
Right? We need to be humble enough to say, you know what? We do what we do because we want to do what the Lord says. But just because we do it doesn't automatically mean it's what the Lord says. And that happens. Sometimes we get this habit of... Yeah. Well, we're trying to do what the Bible says, and then we don't double check to make sure, are we still on the right path? It's exactly what Dan was talking about. It's that course correction. You know, we do that in our lives, but we need to do that in our worship and our practice. We need to make sure, are we still on the right path? And how do we know the path is laid out here?
Well, we have to keep doing what the Bereans did.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy named Katie Sorensen. I work with Katie Sorensen. Her husband preaches at the Wesleyan Church of Marine.
Right.
And she tells the students that when her husband preaches, she takes notes because she wants to make, you know, and she'll double check those verses.
Oh, really?
Even though it's her husband preaching.
Yeah.
She says it's still my responsibility to, although she trusts him, it's her responsibility to make sure she knows the truth for herself.
Right. Yeah. Good for her.
That's cool.
Good for her. Yeah.
And so as long as they're both honest with that, they'll be fine.
Right. Right.
If that's really what people intend to do. So. That's that idea. And by the way, if you want to come to Bethel, I'm gonna be talking about a lot of these things. If you want to come in, listen to me, and then bring your Bible and disagree with me or agree, that's fine.
Oh,
the
address
is 3824 State Road 66, Milltown. If you come from a distance, put that in your GPS, you're going to end up in the woods by Milltown somewhere. So don't do that. I don't know what happens. Get on State Road 66 between Carefree and Marengo, all right? And if you're coming from Carefree, go north until you find a bunch of headstones in the highway. There's a white church on the headstone.
Yep. You're going up a big hill. You'll see it as you come up there.
If you're coming from Crawford County High School south, it'll be on your left. Come and see me. If you want to discuss, folks, I'm ready to discuss these things. If I'm wrong, I'll change. But I ask you to, I ask you to do the same. If you're wrong, I hope you'll change.
Right.
And that's how we're going to approach this.
Right.
We have to.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else do you have? Because I've got lots.
Lots. An hour flies by. Now, a CD holds an hour and 20 minutes. Just remember that. So we can go a little over, right? You've already alluded to this, but I think it would be good for folks that aren't familiar, and maybe especially folks that have only seen you online,
yep,
that it maybe have not been here, had the opportunity to come to maybe one of the singings. Talk a little bit about El Bethel, because that's really where this whole work started, right? This is an outgrowth of what you're doing with El Bethel. So talk about El Bethel. Where has it been? Where are you going?
Do you want me to start like at the beginning?
Can you give me the 5-minute tour?
Yeah.
It's only an hour program, right? If it were 2 hours.
Yeah, well, I don't mean talk about everything I preached about, but kind of where how it all
started.
Well,
just the big picture, right? I mean, you've got to tell the origin story. You definitely have, you're a superhero. So, you got to tell your origin story.
Okay, but do I have a sidekick? Anyway.
Yeah, me and Martin. Martin and I are your sidekick.
I mow yards and do things like that, and just being around people, and Lloyd and Sandra Arnold asked me to mow their yard. And Lloyd also was in my classroom some, working in the school. He's a retired teacher, retired military, so he's a guest teacher once in a while. And we would have spiritual conversations about things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it is. You can be talking about a stump and end up about something about God. You know, it's kind of weird.
Stumps of God, they kind of go, whatever.
So he was one day in my class, he said, Scott, you need to be in the pulpit because you can say things without making people mad.
Everybody's saying
okay
that.
Yep. Well, unbeknownst to me, that
which isn't true, by the way.
That is not true. That was a misnomer. So he calls me. I was out in my backyard checking on my apple trees, and he called me. He said, Lloyd, he said, Scott, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer right. And I said, our minister left. Why don't you come and preach for us?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but Lloyd, I'm not a Baptist. He said, no, I don't. That didn't come anyway. I said, but Lloyd, I'm not going to be. And he said, well, come anyway. And so I thought, well, I'll go in there and preach a couple lessons. Or I'll preach a lesson. And I said, well, that was good. But, hey, thanks for coming. Well, I preached that first week, and then I preached at Mount Tabor the next week, and I was back a second time at El Bethel, and I preached again. The first time, I think I preached about the prodigal son, and then I did a lesson about Lot, so I do remember those two. The rest of it's a fog. But I thought, that'll end that. Well, that next morning, it was a Saturday. No, it was a Monday morning. School was out. I was, what's that?
Top out.
Are you serious? How can that be?
Go ahead, Matt.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Woo-hoo! Beautiful!
Marengo, Indiana.
Speaking of Marengo,
I was
here we
on
go.
My way to Marengo to basketball camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph Seacat calls me, and he said, hey, Scott, we voted last night to pursue you as our permanent minister. So I did that. I did exactly, and I pulled off the side. I pulled off the side of the road, and I said, What? And so that started this whole deal. So what I did was my first six lessons after those first two, I wanted to talk about Bible authority. So I used my daughter Emma, who's listening, kept saying to me, and I, you know how people annoy you. She kept saying, "We got to listen to Doy. You got to listen to Doy," because Doy Morey had done a lesson at Eastside where she is now Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying, "Got to listen to Doy." And I'm like, okay, whatever. Well, I finally did.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out where to go. And she kept saying, "Got to listen to Doy." And so she didn't really sound like that. I'm just making that. She doesn't really sound that way. But when I heard him and him talking about Bible authority,
so
my first six lessons are out of that book about Bible authority, what Bible authority is.
Yeah.
And so everything that we do then has to relate back to that concept of, or do we have authority to do this or not?
Right.
And
right.
So that's what started it all. And so here we are a year and whatever later, and with the radio.
And program. They haven't fired you yet.
Not yet. And I don't think they, well, I mean, we're dealing with people who want to know the truth.
Right. Right.
So
right.
If we're dealing with people who want to know the truth,
right,
and we can sit down and talk about it, whether we agree about it or not, mm-hmm. if we can talk about it honestly, which we should be able to do,
right,
and not
right.
lose our minds in talking about it, which we should be able to do,
right,
and not let it be such an emotional thing, but just factual. What does the Bible say? We should be able to talk about it forever with people who don't agree with us, but we can keep talking about it and come to a common understanding. That's what God expects us to do.
Right.
And so if we can't do that, are we really being Christians anyway?
Oh, absolutely.
And so we got,
you know, and that's not always an easy process, is it?
No, I mean,
it's not.
And it's not that we haven't had heated discussions.
Sure.
And it's
because these things matter. They're people are passionate
and they're emotional.
It's understandable.
But if we can't, at the end of that, we can't say, you know, I love you and I appreciate your heart.
And
your sincerity of wanting to know the truth. What are we anyway?
Right.
I have no business being there trying to do what I'm doing if I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Doing. So anyway,
I'm from Kentucky. I'm
that's where doing. We are now. We're down to 27 minutes.
27 minutes. Oh, we could go over.
What's going on?
All right. Let's see what can we do. Okay. All right. So you already talked about how the radio program came about. How did you come up with the name? How did that come about?
We were at John. No, we were at your house.
Oh, you talk about that time we were all over at the Bingham's house.
It was after that. Dan Langford or somebody said, I may have been John.
Yeah.
Somebody just said in passing, I don't know what it was. Somebody just said, well, you can just call it, you know, like Let the Bible Speak or whatever. And they didn't even, that was all. It was just kind of said in passing.
Threw that out there. Okay.
And that's what we did.
That's what you went with, right?
And that's, right. That was pretty appropriate.
Right.
Consider what you're trying to teach.
Well, exactly. That, I mean, that's core to what you're trying to do.
Yep.
Now, just a little, like a programming note here, that phrase is common, right? Let the Bible speak.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Scott is really, in case you haven't noticed, he's a humble guy. And so he will tell you, he does not like having Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak plastered on everything. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, Let the Bible Speak is just a phrase, and it's been used by other folks. So we needed to make sure that we're not misrepresenting. It's your program, so it is Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. So, and I will tell you up front, it was not Scott's idea. I pushed it just because it's a trademark kind of thing that you just want to make sure that you brand it in a way that makes it clear you're not trying to steal anybody else's ideas. So,
and I'll be honest, there are times I think Theron is working harder for this program than I am, making CDs, traveling over here.
Oh, I paid her to do that.
Right,
so yeah, we're good.
Doing the website and all that stuff. I didn't know how to do all that stuff. And so I appreciate that work very, very, very much. And so if I have to put up with an occasional dog, well, then it's worth it to me.
That's fine. You're keeping me off balance. I might not get to the goal.
Anyway, that's where we are. But, you know, it's just really important that we're honest.
Yeah.
And we can't deceive her. I think we can't deceive her even. You know, I think I'm sincere and not wanting to go to hell and not teach, you know, falsely.
Right.
But that
right.
doesn't mean I can't do it.
Sure.
That doesn't mean I won't say something that's not scriptural and say and lead people in the wrong direction.
Right.
Accidentally. Right. But we have to be honest, and we have to double check those things and be willing. And to, if we are wrong, change. It means it's not hard.
Yeah.
Well,
it is, though.
It is kind of hard.
Trick.
And, you know, and that's the only reason I mentioned this. I don't know who I was listening to the other day, talking about getting to heaven being hard. And he said the only reason, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
He said the only reason it's hard is we won't get out of our own way. We're stubborn and want to do what we want to do instead of just submitting to God.
Right.
That's the only reason it's hard.
Well, Jesus says, you know, like my burden is light, but at the same time, he talks about the narrow way.
Yep. And so,
and you know what? They're both true. Yep. They really are. It's, it's.
Once you find the narrow way,
it is.
If we find the narrow way, I guess, I will hope I'm on the narrow way. And I'm checking every day to make sure I'm on a narrow way. You know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I'm hoping that's what I'm doing, but I'm going to keep checking to make sure that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to make corrections, like Dan Linker talked about, not ping pong or a pinball type corrections, but just minor adjustments. Keep it between the lines and keep going. And that's all I'm asking people to do is be honest with what they're doing, what they're hearing. What are you hearing? I mean, what is the person that stands in front of you on Sunday morning teaching?
Right.
Are you fair minded? Like one of the translations for Marines is fair minded.
Fair minded, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Are you being fair minded and double check and make sure what they say is actually scripture?
Right.
Because it sounds good.
You've
made this statement, and I absolutely agree with it. You said you will say that I'm not the best orator or speaker you've ever heard, but I'm sincere and I relate well. Okay, great. That's super. There are some really, really good sounding speakers out there. And they can make things sound really good.
Right.
But is it?
I mean,
I'll probably never be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. But if somebody's a really dynamic speaker.
The book is Mind Your
Kids. Did I not say that?
Oh.
That is holding
up. I think you mentioned the author.
The book is Mind Your King by Doy Moyer. Thank you, Tina. My wife's also listening. How about that?
Yeah. And watching. Yeah, and watching.
She'll say she doesn't get tired of listening to me, but I have my doubts. I appreciate her. She's a very lovely person, and she's very supportive. But
what was it I called her last week? Strikingly beautiful.
That's it.
That's
maybe.
That's your line. I was trying to feed you that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she is. But in every way. But right. I appreciate. Well, if you knew my kids, you'd appreciate her.
Sure.
Much more because I've got some great kids, and I have to attribute that to their mama who devoted her life to
homeschooling. That's why they'd be so smart.
Those kids, absolutely. Yeah. Why they'd be so smart, because she poured her life into these kids.
Yep.
And your wife has done the same. Not that all parents don't, but when you give up everything and do nothing but teach your kids and raise your kids, that becomes everything that wife and mother is surrounded with.
Right.
And that's the product of her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she did a really good job.
Yeah. Now, let's see if we can milk this a little bit more. We can get some tears. You think we can?
Well, I almost got them. But
we were getting there. Okay. Let's see. How did you come up with the name? Oh, here's a question. How did you decide upon the format?
For the show?
For the show, yeah.
I wanted it to be, I wouldn't say casual, but comfortable.
Right.
Like if we were sitting at your table at your house talking, I wanted it to be like that.
Yeah, that's is a lot like when we were sitting at Culver's the other day.
Yeah,
we were just talking. It's a lot like the very same conversation we were having.
I wanted people listening to be able to feel like they were in a conversation and weren't being talked to or talked at, but just part of a conversation.
Right.
And they
Culver's, official sponsor of Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak.
But,
wink, wink.
and to feel comfortable if they wanted to be part of this, to call in or get on Facebook and send in a question or whatever. I want people comfortable with that. And I don't know. I'll be honest. This, and you know this better than I do. This has been every week a learning gradual process. I mean, I didn't know how to do any. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know. I didn't know how to certainly.
Well, I'd heard you preach, and you didn't know how to preach.
Yeah, but you know, how do you start in a congregation?
Oh,
who's never seen you?
Yeah, that was a whole different
problem. All that sort of thing. I mean, it's one thing to stand in front of people who know what you're going to say. They didn't, and I told them they didn't. But and then to do this radio program, know how to start and what direction to go and what to do and how to do it.
Right,
and so what I've tried to do is the people I have in here, I know are, this is not false humility, better Bible students than I have been. I mean, I'm getting there, but they know the people that sit beside me, generally speaking, have been preaching a lot longer than I have, or teaching or been Christians longer than me. And they know the Bible, and so I want to piggyback off of that knowledge,
and
that ability to convey God's word.
Yeah.
And so I don't bring people in here who haven't shown me that they can do that.
Yeah.
And
I drag them in here, you don't even know who they are.
But
I'm just hoping.
But the thing about you is, I know your character, man. You say, if you say somebody is that person, I know they are. Like, I had never met Roger Hillis.
Really?
But I feel like
he's well known. But
now I feel like I've known him my whole life because I know exactly where he comes from.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it's this book. And so it just pours out of him.
Something you've mentioned before, and I being involved in the program and being able to see the different guests and how the program's evolved, I think you've alluded to this before, but you have different people in here, and they might have just, you know, we're all looking to the same authority. But they might come across a little different, or they might have a slightly different approach, or their temperament may be different, whatever it is. But every guest is a little different. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, it's very likely that listeners are going to have like some favorites. I'm like, I really it when XYZ's on. I don't like it as much when this person's on, but it may be the next person may be the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And so one of the things you're getting is you're like the anchor. You're always helping to root the program. But you do get different voices, and it's a good mix and a good opportunity to hear different people just letting the Bible speak, just like the name of the program says. So I tell you what, I think that is just a perfect segue.
Uh-oh.
Well, this isn't bad at all. Soundbite check. So one of the things, and I have to, yes, I put a lot of effort into the program. I wish I had more time because it does take a lot of time. One of the things I would really like to do is go back into the different programs mm-hmm. and find different snippets and add those, because the CD is an hour and 20 minutes and we go about an hour. So we always have extra time, and I think it'd be good to throw in some extra little nuggets of and treats in there. We may even talk about some other things I've been adding to people who actually listen to the CDs. But one time I was, when I edit the audio, one of the first things I have to do is edit it for length. We typically start the audio well before we start, so it's going while we're setting up, and then we shut it sometime afterwards as we're done wrapping things down. So I always have some extra, I have to edit it. And then the one time Roger was in here, you always close with an appeal. And it varies a little bit. In general, it's a very heartfelt appeal to just let the Bible speak, because it's
Roger,
God's word.
Roger did it right, didn't he?
Oh, my. And he hadn't made a habit of doing that. You just, for whatever reason, decided to turn it over. You made your appeal. You did a really good job. And then you turn it over to Roger, and he just, it's like you just threw it up. You just tossed it to him, and
he knocked a homer.
So let me go ahead and play that clip. So this is the closing. And this is August 4th program, if I can find it, which I will find here eventually.
You played it earlier. I know you
did. I did. It's in here that I just got a long list. And, of course, when you're on air, everything feels different, right? So it is on here somewhere. Here we go. That's the intro. Here we go, guys. So just to recap, this is the close of the program that aired on August 4th. And this is Scott Mitchell with Roger Hillis.
Bible and understand what it says, and please just let the Bible speak, folks. That's all we are asking you to do, is to let the Bible speak. So thank you for listening. Roger, have any closing words you want to say before we hang it up?
Well, God loves all of us. He wants everybody to be saved, and he's made it possible that we all can be, but we have some decisions to make about whether we're going to be obedient and righteous and godly in the way that we live.
Yep. Thank you very much. And again, folks, just let the Bible speak.
Very good. And ever since then, I've noticed now you started to do that again. Because it was like, because I was sitting there listening to it like, that was great. You know, and then I listened to it later. I'm like, oh, okay, we have to put
our brother John on.
John! Hey, John Bingham!
By the way, the people at Bethel love John Bingham.
We do also.
I don't know if it's premature gray hair or what it is about him, but he just has it. I'm just kidding.
It's
about
that professional. It's that professor look he has. He's that just really wins him over.
You know, when Mike Bozeman is on, he not only does he have a great voice for radio, but he has a very even keel him. And John's like that in that when he speaks and when he teaches, he's just very easy to listen to and easy. And that's why they like him.
Yeah.
And I preach. And John's one of those guys that he can show up here anytime and be on the. I don't care who got on with us and be on the show because.
Yeah.
People like to listen to him because he brings to the table literally here what people need as far as helping them understand what the Bible says. And
John has a tremendous pedigree in terms of service to the Lord, service to the church, service among your brothers and sisters.
So anyway, John, I know that's not why you got on, but thank you for listening.
But
if
we,
you want to call in, John, and track me, that, go ahead. But anyway, that's so do you have any other questions you wanted to ask? Because you've got a whole list.
I've got a whole list. Now, Priscilla was adamant.
About Martin?
Yes. Okay, now, Priscilla, come here. Now.
You do realize
Priscilla, come here. This is your opportunity to sign. Now, you stand between us, so you're on the microphone. Okay. You make it onto the camera. Now, you have to tell us the story of Martin. What is the story of Martin?
So, at the old studio, he was hanging by his tail. At a open... What do you call those?
One of those panels in the ceiling.
Those panels.
Ceiling.
Oh, ceiling
tile?
Drop ceilings. Yeah.
And then we moved into this building in the school. And then we found him on top of there. And then I was like, you know, he needs a name. And I named him Martin. He's an amazing possum. And he's just become an amazing little guy.
Okay.
So that's the story of Martin.
She loves Martin. Now, here's the question that Priscilla insisted that I ask you, Scott.
Ask me?
Yes.
About
now,
Martin.
I just realized he still has his original earring. Nobody ever clipped off that little tag on his poor ear.
Okay.
Poor possum.
So
now,
what is your question?
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you love Martin, Mr. Scott?
That's a hard question to answer on the spot like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that
no
I...
No pressure or anything.
I don't know that I have... Martin, I don't know that I hold a lot of love in my heart for Martin, to be honest with you.
Oh!
I mean,
your
I
heart really, for Martin.
This like Martin.
I'm sorry, buddy. No, he's all sad.
He's a hippie. He's just a possum, you know. Anyway. Let's move on to something.
Okay. We had to have at least a little fun. That was Priscilla's moment. That was her moment to shine.
Yeah.
You know, we made a game out of that. You've seen that on the website.
We have
right?
a bunch of cats. You can ask how much I love cats. Anyway, you know,
more than possums, that's for sure.
We could go to Hebrews chapter 11. Anyway, what kind of questions do you have?
Oh, Hebrews chapter 11, please.
I've just got a lot of
Bible. Oh, yeah, it's just Bible.
By faith, yeah. Words underlined. But
yeah, I'd rather listen to us.
Do you have any other questions that you wanted to
I got a ton of them, but none of them are important.
Well, yeah, they are. Go ahead, because I can use this
okay.
to answer your question.
Okay, well, okay, so here was a question that came up, and this was really from one of the, well, I will say multiple listeners. Why is Theron back on?
Did somebody actually ask that?
No.
Okay, good.
I had to set it up somehow.
Well, Theron is a trusted friend and I don't know. It's not a friend's not even the right word. When you have this Christian relationship that
Amen.
You have.
Amen to that. Yeah.
So yeah, it's absolutely. More than the word friend, but it's
right.
just.
Brother.
I mean, it really yeah, is. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's bigger than what we can explain.
We're Mexican
but
brothers.
We're trusting.
which means Mexican food.
Yes. He's a trusted friend. What's that mean? Go ahead, Matt.
I just guys, you just can't say no to Theron. When he asked me to come help out on this program,
yeah.
it's like, all right.
Yeah, there you
can't
go.
Say no to Theron, really?
Well, I mean, no,
tell my wife
that.
You know,
pretty persistent.
Oh, I'm in trouble now.
No. Don't start that.
Don't start that stuff.
But yeah. Again, I trust you because we've had hours and hours and hours of Bible discussion.
Yeah.
And
right.
So
right,
when,
right.
when you talk about being here, I have no issues.
Yeah.
It's just a natural thing for us to be able to sit down and talk about these things.
It's what we do naturally, right? Like
so
I said, this is just like our conversation at
Culver's. It's just easy. Yep.
You know, last Friday.
Yep.
So
very easy.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that was not a hard question. You know, I have.
I just
here's here. I'll answer it with Bible.
Right.
I mentioned chapter Hebrews chapter 11. I have by faith underlined over and over and over and over again. You know, by faith Abraham, in faith, by faith Moses, by faith he left Egypt, by faith. Here's by faith.
Yeah.
We can get together and talk about this because we know each other. And we know each other's character and what,
right.
and what how we feel about the Bible, so it's easy.
Yeah. Oh goodness. Well, and we talked about this on your second program, the question of faith.
Yep.
And do we have faith? Yes. But it's not a blind faith.
No.
It's not a blind faith. So.
It is not.
Man, what do we do with the next 10 minutes? That's all we got left.
We've got lots of time.
We've got lots
of time.
Now here's a question that we have to ask. Why hasn't Jeff Farmer been on yet?
He's busy. He preaches. He preaches somewhere, virtually, except for this weekend when he's camping. he preaches somewhere different every weekend, pretty much. So he's a busy man.
Right.
And he does want to be on. I trust that, and he will be. I trust that as well. But he's busy, and he's honestly a busy man. And you know he's going up north with it. You know where his mom and dad are, helping with that situation. Preaches up there when he goes to help them.
Yep.
And lots of things like that. Plus, he's got a wife. You know how those wives are. They demand some time, too, once in a while. So
and he has a good one.
So. He does. So, yeah, that's why he's not been on.
Okay. We hope to have him on eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, we'll be nice. I'll struggle with it because there's some paybacks due. But
anyway,
I'll be nice. So, okay, let's go ahead and do this because some people may actually care. Besides me, I've actually got the audio clip of when I introduced the gong.
Oh, you're going to explain why?
Yeah, because there's actually a story to it, right? Yep. So let's just do that real quick.
People probably need this.
Okay. Well, there is really a story to it. Now, the problem I have with my list here, there's donuts in disguise, which we had this morning, but there's bulge in all the wrong places. Okay. So this didn't occur live. This was actually picked up by Facebook Live, but we weren't on air yet. But I brought in the gong one morning, and I can't remember when I did it. But this is the conversation that took place when I introduced Scott to the gong.
The gong, just so that's, I have a plan.
Okay, ready? Here you go. Good practice, Ryan.
That's
John Bingham.
Okay, now listen.
Yeah, that's John.
I know what it means, but...
Okay, and just there in case go. It comes up. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I going to try to avoid saying
that? We've never done it that way.
But there you go. Okay. You're right. I like it.
The origin of that statement is
right, this. Right, right, right.
I'm pretty positive what I started at Bethel with that first Sunday after they hired me.
Yeah, right, right.
Here's what I said. There are two things I can never hear. Don't do it now. I can never hear, I know what the Bible says, but or that's not the way we've always done things.
Yeah.
And so that's what I started with as far as, and of course, it evolved into a WBRO gong, light gong, right, Theron? So anyway.
Actually, it sounds more gong-like when you hit it.
When people say that, I know what it says, but Theron likes to gong that, which it's gong. It's a gongable statement.
It's a gongable
statement. Is that a word? Anyway.
It is now. Say it twice and you own it.
Anyway. Wait, let's.
It's a gongable statement.
I just ran across the verse that I'm going to add to my sermon on Sunday. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1.
Right. Well, and to kind of look at both aspects of that, right? It was intended to be a way of being a little lighthearted and comical, but it really is a serious topic.
Absolutely.
Because it is, look, again, getting back to the idea of arguing about doctrine. Doctrine matters.
Yep.
Understanding what the Bible is telling us matters. It matters immensely. Yep. But at the same time, in the end, who are we answering to? We're not answering to the guy next to you who's engaged in an argument with you. Mm-hmm. We're answering to God, and we need to get back to that. And we need to be careful that we're not engaging in arguing because we like a good argument or we mm-hmm. want to be right. We all want to be right, but who tells us by what are we measured in terms of whether we're right? It's the only thing we have is God's word, because he revealed all the truth that we need for salvation. There's no reason to turn to anything else. So let's use that as our standard. Are we still going to have some conversations? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's use this as our foundation and our basis for that discussion.
It's interesting. I've got Jonah on my mind because Shannon Schaefer mm-hmm. and I talked about Jonah a couple weeks
That's
ago.
That's a good show.
With the statement Jonah made, and my wife said, you're off hard on Jonah. I don't mean to be hard on Jonah. All of us can be guilty of what happens.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I can look at myself and criticize myself just fine. But Jonah's statement, they said, they asked him three times, basically, where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? And mm-hmm. verse 8, because they mm-hmm. wanted to make sure they prayed to the correct God, because they prayed to everybody else that they know to pray to.
And it wasn't working, was it? Yeah.
And Jonah says, this is it. I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Which is a fantastically good statement to make, which a lot of us make.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he turned around and did exactly the opposite of what God said.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what is belief?
Well, belief means taking action.
Belief is action. His action proved he did not believe God. And so the point for us is, when we're doing what we say we're doing in the name of God. Mm-hmm. But it's not in his word. Do we believe God? Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to answer that question. And what Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, mm-hmm. lest we drift away from it. Why would that warning be there mm-hmm. if we couldn't drift away from the truth?
Oh, right.
God's told us, if I understand 2 Thessalonians correctly,
right.
chapter 3, if right. this is God's inspired word, this is God's mind revealed for us.
Yep.
Why not just accept it for what it is?
I think some of the stories that move me the most, with Facebook now, social media,
yeah.
we're getting exposed to stories you'd sometimes hear from another brother who was visiting or sitting around having Mexican food at the table.
Yeah.
But now you're getting a lot more traffic and chance to get these stories kind of floated around. And some of the stories that really resonate with me is when somebody sits down with the Bible and they just look at it, and somebody looks at it and says, you know what? I'm just going to do what it says. Why is that a problem? And you go, yes.
That's what we do.
You're right. Now, let's face it. Even for those of us who might call ourselves, quote, mature Christians, we still struggle with that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, are we trying to get the big things right? Hopefully. But we're still probably on the margin on other things that we need to be doing. And let's face it, I mean, to your point about Jonah, and you've hit on a pet peeve of mine, and yeah, a couple.
Okay.
You probably know the other one, whatever that would be.
Go ahead.
Anyway, one of the things I think we tend to do when we look at Bible characters
is we say, oh, there's the bad guy. Oh, look, he made the mistake. Oh, yep, check off the box. Yep. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Oh, yep, he's the bad guy. I wouldn't do that. Peter walking out in the water not having faith. You know, I'd be walking. I'd be dancing across that water. You know, that wouldn't be me. I'd be totally, you know, Jesus, I'd be dancing out in the water.
He did walk on the water.
That's an excellent point. But here's the reality is when we do that, we don't learn anything. We just go, oh, yeah, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. If we don't understand, even if it's not a temptation we face, and I'm not saying create temptations that aren't there for you.
Sure.
But I'm saying if we can't put ourselves in their shoes and realize that we can make the same mistake, we're not going to learn anything by looking at the mistakes of others. Yeah. Now, what do they say about mistakes?
Was, you know, when we learn from other people, you mean that kind
yeah,
of
thing? Well, it is, you know, yeah, you know, is that what you're a wise man words, wise man learns from his mistakes, an even wiser man learns from the mistakes of others, mm-hmm. right? And that's, there's some mistakes you can't repeat. Yeah. So, and I think that's a good attitude to have when we look at people that are doing the wrong thing in the Bible is, you know what? Not only to do the wrong thing, I need to make sure that I don't ever put myself in a position where I'm tempted to make the same mistake.
And that goes to the longevity of the Bible. You know, the Bible says that that it's going to endure forever. What we're looking at when we look at the Bible is people.
Absolutely.
And there are people like us. That's why God's word is always going to be applicable. I don't care how fast the internet gets. I don't care if there are flying cars. I don't care what it is. Yeah. People are going to have sins of the flesh,
sins
of the eyes, and the pride of life kind of ideas. People think we've advanced so far, but people really haven't changed.
Well,
you know, we still have problems with the same things.
The fundamental human condition is the same as it's been.
And it's always going to be. I don't care how advanced we get.
Right.
It didn't change
anything. That arrogance we tend to get into. And every generation wrestles with that.
Yeah.
Like, well, grandpa doesn't know nothing, right?
But it's just the people in the Bible are just people, and they're where God put that there for us to learn from it, not criticize it, to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's there.
Right, right. So you want to do a 1 year from now? You know, in 6 months, you want to do a 1 year show?
Sure. Why not?
Maybe we'll go an hour and a half.
Okay.
Special. We'll bring cake. Maybe we'll have some other some guests back in.
Yeah, whole panel. It'd be great. Anyway,
we'll put in chairs.
We have 1 minute.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
We can go over.
What are you going to finish? What are you going to finish with today?
Speaking of, made me think of something. What happened recently? How do we have to address Mr. Sean Scott now? Don't take my list. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Priscilla took my list.
What do we? How do we have to address Mr.
Sean? He's a Kentucky Colonel now.
I didn't know that. I saw you mention. You said the Colonel.
Oh, you didn't see it posted.
What is that?
He's been honored as a Kentucky Colonel.
I didn't know that.
So he's the Colonel. He is now Colonel Sean Scott.
So I can just say
we need to add that to all those signs. He's running for office.
Yeah.
So they need to go and add Colonel Sean Scott. Vote for elect Colonel Sean Scott. Oh, there's a bunch of them on the way up here.
I'm not doing it anyway.
come on. It's got to be fun.
By the way,
Matt will do it with
Sean Scott's the one that owns the station and lets us be on here and do all this stuff. So I'm grateful to Sean for that. But very much so. Good opportunity and thanks for all the people that are contributing to this. And providing this opportunity for us. So we've got no minutes. So how do you want to close?
How do we want to close?
Hey, before I say, just I beg you to please let the Bible speak. Is there anything you'd like to say before we shut this thing down?
Yes, but I have a question before we go there.
Another question.
So we're making audio CDs and we're sending those out. We post now. We're going to Facebook Live. Hey guys. Thank you for watching, by the way. Where are we at, just out of curiosity?
We peaked at about 13. We're currently
13? That's our record.
Yeah.
That's our PR.
And we're currently at about 6, and that's since you brought that, I just want to remind people that we've changed our setup, so it's a lot easier for us to follow comments on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook Live, you can comment during the show. It would be a lot easier for us to see a question or some comments,
and
we can share that way during the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. And by the way, Matt, thank you for your contribution because you're coming in and helping has been a huge help to us. Mm-hmm. And for example, I got to be behind the mic for a change because we can have somebody we can trust who's a real audio guy, by the way, back there running the console. Yep. So that's been a huge help.
That's cool. So what was your question?
We send out CDs. We post information and now videos live to Facebook Live. We post the audio to the website. Mm-hmm. Next step, you want to do DVDs? Should we make some DVDs?
For what?
Of our wonderful videos. You think people want to sit and watch us talk? Well,
it's
watch you.
Highly and unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
I would think.
I know how to do it though. I can do it. I've done them. I've made them before. I know how to make DVDs. You don't think so?
Theron, I don't have any idea.
Well, okay, there's something more important I want to say, but before we close, there's something I was hoping to bring up, and you've heard me say this before. Oh, okay. For Kevin. I've got so much, and it's an hour Hurt? Flies by.
Kevin, me?
Yeah, Mr. Name Dropper, he uses full names. I always use only first name because we're on air, but
Mooney doesn't care.
Well, we love Kevin. The Moonies are just
He thinks
awesome.
You're funny. But
full name's already out there.
Yes. Well, that's true too.
Go ahead, sir.
But so I this isn't the favorite way I've heard the radio program described. I gave him a CD because he came to one of your singings at El Bethel, mm-hmm. and I gave him a CD. It was one with Louie on it.
Yeah.
And the next time I saw him, he was all elated. He says, "Oh, that was really great." And it took him exactly an hour to get home. So he listened to it when he left. Mm-hmm. As they pulled in the driveway, Louie was finishing, right? And he described the radio program. It's like listening to Rick and Bubba, but without all the commercials. And I have always loved that. So
I'll take that.
Fun. We'll take that. It's like, yeah. But on a more serious note, why were folks so quick to get behind you, Scott, when the opportunity to work with the church in El Bethel came up? And so quick to rally behind you when you got the radio program? It's because we just saw an opportunity, and I will not. I'll be real candid about this. I have seen very few opportunities where I said this is God's providence in action here. You're here for a reason. God chose you for this work. And I do believe that. I sincerely, it's providence. You know, He didn't visit me in the night.
Yeah.
But I do believe it's true. And you've talked about how kind of God opened the door, and you kind of peeked in. And he shoved you in. Well, let's face it, John Bingham and I kind of helped a little bit. I mean, those of us around you that know you immediately said, Scott, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. And we're 100% behind you. So if we can reach out and reach one person, it's worth every ounce of the effort, because we know how precious a single soul is to the Lord. And that, I think, that gets to the core of what this is all about. In the end, whether it's a radio program, it's preaching on a Sunday, it's singing a song well with praise to the Lord, it's doing a Bible reading with meaning so people understand this is important, that we get this. Whatever we do in service to the Lord, it is all about saving lost souls and getting as many to salvation in the Lord as possible.
Yes.
And that's what all of this is about. And if we have opportunity, if we're ready and willing and eager to serve the Lord, we're going to jump on it.
Yep.
And this is just one thing that came up. And why do we have a website? I happen to own a website, and so I knew how to do that kind of stuff. So it wasn't, do I think I could do it better than anybody else? Absolutely not, but I just happen to be available. So that's what it amounted to.
It's not that I think I'm the answer to everybody's biblical question either.
Right, right.
What Paul Earnhardt, if you don't know him, it's okay, said, you know, when he started preaching.
Oh, possible?
That's
a different story.
Yeah. He said he believed that a Christian ought to do what they could, whatever that might be.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's incumbent on everybody that claims to be a Christian to shine that light.
Right.
And to try to help people. That's what our lives are supposed to be. And so that's why I'm floundering around trying to do these things. It's just an attempt to try to help people. But we got to quit.
I don't have to.
So I'm going to close with my typical closing. And first of all, thank everybody for listening and for the support and the encouragement. But folks, the Bible is here for us. We just need to read it and let it speak to us. Just let it speak. Let it speak and be honest with it and do what it says. I love all of you. I really do. I know it don't sound like it sometimes, but I do. And I want everybody to know that God loves you too.
Yeah.
And that's all he wants us to know about him.
Right.
If we believe that, the rest of it should be easy. So let it speak to you, folks. God bless.